I know sometimes I sound like a broken record. Sometimes. Ben's like, oh, sometimes, yeah. Oh, but I'm excited today. I really am. Because as we are going through and seeing who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, this is the I am that got me. This is the I am that punched directly to the heart. And so I am excited. I am as excited as I have been over the last few weeks. I am most excited for today. Because if you and I get this in our hearts, there's no stopping God's people. We read this morning, we opened up, I wanted you to hear from Romans chapter 14. The Apostle Paul takes these ideas of life and death, these things that you and I tend to hold as opposing views and as opposite poles, right? If we're alive, we're doing good, we're over here. Well, if you're dead, well, you can't do any good, it's all over, it's way over here. And we do everything in our power to be here and avoid here, right? That's the name of the game. So live as long as we can, to put death off as long as we can, and hopefully life is as strong and as healthy and as joyful as we can muster, as we can manage. And then, of course, there is the separation in which death plays upon us, because we've lost those close to us. And the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 14 brings these two things so close. And like many things for those who know the Lord, you know what a fine line there is between what we can see and what we believe. You know what a fine line there is between our experience in the flesh and spiritual things. And sometimes you get a glimpse, right? Sometimes you get a glimpse of, whoa, that was other. That was else. And sometimes they rub very close together. And sometimes they seem so far apart. But again, birth and death, it's why young children sense things that we can't. It's why when someone is close to passing over into death, that they may see things or hear things that we can't, because they are closer to that fine line than you and I usually dwell and walk in our everyday life. And so I love what Paul says here in Romans 14, and he says, Jesus died and rose again so that he could have the right to be Lord, to be ruler, to be master over all who live and all who die. Now, sometimes we think of that and go, oh good, all the bad people are not going to get away with it. They're going to answer to Jesus. But church, this morning I want us to say, oh good, no matter what happens to me, I belong to the Lord. That's what Paul was trying to get across to believers, and that is where Jesus is going to take us in John chapter 11 in explaining and describing himself as I am. So, let's pray together that our hearts and eyes will be opened and that you and I can maybe just grasp on a little bit better to what Jesus is trying to teach us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We praise your name for giving us the gift of your Son. We thank you for defeating death. We thank you for forgiving our sins. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at Jesus this morning, that we will be more obedient, that we will walk closer to him, that we will enjoy and appreciate the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and that we will be faithful to see his face. Father, this does not come from us. This comes from you. And sometimes we struggle. We struggle to see. We struggle to understand. We struggle to trust. I pray that you forgive us, Lord. Forgive us in our weaknesses and help us to have more faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 11. Now, don't shut down because you know the story, okay? The story of John chapter 11 is Lazarus. You know Lazarus. You hear his word, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember Lazarus. Lazarus is the one that he brought back to life, right? But Lazarus is just the story and the situation for Jesus to reveal his next I am statement, okay? This one, to me, it is so powerful because of the circumstances in which Jesus puts this in. And so as we read through this, my prayer is that our eyes will be open to really get what Jesus is trying to do here. The disciples don't get it at the time. The Jews don't get it at the time. Lazarus' family does not get it at the time. But I want us to get it. I want us to get it because if we get this one, if we get this one, it is something else. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to wake him up. The disciples said to him, well, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, well, let's go, that we may die with him. All right. So let's try to grasp the concept and the context here. Jesus gets word that his good friend, the one that he loves, his family is very close to Jesus. Lazarus is sick. He's sick. He's ill. He's lying in bed. Think about whatever disease or illness that you can picture, and Lazarus is in it. He gets word that his good friend is sick, and so his reaction is, let's not go yet. Now, usually we don't have that reaction, right? Usually we have the opposite reaction. Family member's sick. I got to go now. This sounds serious. This is not like the other sick. This is not it. And Jesus just comes out and says, look, this illness does not lead to death, but so that God's glory may be seen. This is not going to kill Lazarus. This is going to bring God's glory. And they get word. I get word. He's died. Now look how Jesus describes it. First, Lazarus is ill. Then Jesus says, what's the second one? That he is what? He's fallen asleep. Again, Jesus is doing something here, not just for Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He's doing something for all of us. Something that you and I have a hard time with because death scares us. It scares every single one of us. It hurts us. It hurts every single one of us. And unfortunately, in pain and fear, we make bad decisions. Right? You ever done something unwise when you were in pain? Absolutely. Somebody hurt me, I'm going to hurt them back. Well, that's not going to fix your problem. Doesn't matter. It'll make me feel better. How many of us in pain and suffering or loss made an unwise purchase? We tried to salve. I know how to spell it. We try to salve our pain. We try to numb our pain, right? Hey, I lost a family member. We need a new car. Wait, what? Well, at least if we drive around in a new car, we won't think about our loss so much. So at least we can mourn in style. Let's make a mourning purchase, M-O-U-R-N. Let's make a painful purchase. And sometimes we do that, right? We make bad decisions. Sometimes we just make rash decisions because we hurt. We hurt and we don't know how to deal with it. And so Jesus says Lazarus is sick. But it doesn't lead to death. Then Lazarus has fallen asleep. Oh, well, okay. Well, if he's just taking a nap, he's going to be fine. Guys, come on. Stick with me here. Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says, I'm glad that we stayed away, that I was not there. Why? So that you would believe. Church, you need to get this in your heart. Number one, all those things that you and I suffer through, all those painful things that you and I go through, and we cry out and say, Lord, just make it easy, make it happy, and take away my pain. And Jesus is looking at us going, I'm glad that you went through that so that you would trust me. Whole other way to look at our pain. Because what does my pain do? Pain gives me an option. Pain gives me an option, a choice. I can choose to cling tightly to Jesus and say, Jesus, I am not getting through this with my own strength. You are all I got. Or I can turn to something else. Now, what do you think that he is looking for? He is looking for anything in our lives that force us, that brings us to our knees, that through our tears, that through our suffering, we say, Jesus, you are all I have. You are all I have. You are my only solution. You know how Christians are supposed to live their everyday lives? But we don't. We don't cling to Christ as though he's our only option until he's our only option. And Jesus wants you and I to get up every single day and say, Jesus, you are all I got today. Usually it's like, oh no, I got this meeting, I got that meeting, I got this family responsibility, I got to pay that bill, I got to do this, I got to... That's how we live our lives. And Jesus is sitting up there going, I wish you would get it. I wish you would understand. And so sometimes Jesus allows you and I, those that he loves, to experience difficult and painful things so that we will relearn in our hearts that Jesus is all we need. If we're alive, Jesus is Lord. If we die, Jesus is Lord. He went to the cross to bear the guilt of our sin. He died and was put in the grave, and he came back to life so that he could be Lord of all who live and all who die. Jesus is Lord of everyone. Now, for those who deny him, and Paul says it there in chapter 14 of Romans, hey, they're not getting away with it. They will answer, okay? Don't sweat it. You don't have to judge them because Jesus will. Relax. He will bring justice when he comes. All right? He will bring justice so that you are free to what? To shine his light and to love. He takes all of that, all that nasty revenge and justice work off our shoulders. And we trust him and say, Jesus will sort them out. I don't have to. What do? I focus on Jesus. Because we're easily distracted. So Jesus is painting this picture. He's using this opportunity. And we finally get the seriousness of all of this, but also what Paul was understanding and Jesus. He's sick, he's asleep, he's dead, he's alive. It really doesn't matter. I love the guy. He's going to be fine. That's the message. Jesus loves him. He will be fine. I hope you can take that in your heart this week. Jesus loves me. I will be fine. Maybe we ought to rewrite that song. Jesus loves me, this I know. Somebody work on that. I got other things going on. Jesus loves me, this I know. Ain't nothing in the world's going to... Yeah, see? There. Someone will come back with that. Someone will come back. I'm looking at you, Setliff kids. He's got half the stanza written already. All right. Lazarus does die, right? You with me so far? He does die. He goes through that experience, as painful as it is, but it's not the end. It's not the end. Church, if you live long enough and Jesus has not come back and they put your body in the ground, not the end. Those of your family members who you have buried and wept over and cried at their loss, not their end. That's what Jesus wants us to understand. That's where our faith and our hope come in. We believe what he says. And so now he meets the family. Okay? He's told his disciples. They said, oh, but Jesus, you know they were looking to kill you. What? It's still daytime. We're fine. Okay? When night comes, when my life is over, when night comes and I will be laid to rest, the Lord decides when I go, I will go. He's better than I am at judging such things. Now, you and I are really, really bad at that. Hence our fear and our worry and our concern, our pain. That makes us do silly things, unfaithful things. But he says in verse 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Now when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Now you guys remember the last Mary Martha story, right? Who was near Jesus then? Mary. What was Martha doing? She was working in the house, right? Mm-hmm, exactly. So, Mary's staying in the house. Martha runs out to Jesus. Verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here. Remember the guy we saw a few weeks ago? I got a son. He's sick. If you can, remember that one? Uh-huh, yeah, we do. If I, what do you mean if? There's no if. All things are possible, right? You and I do not worship an if God. We got if in our hearts because we're weak. We're puny. We're small. We don't have much faith. But God's not an if God, okay? That's not how he does things. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you're close to Jesus, you will not have to go through painful things. Show of hands, just quick. It doesn't have to be high. Who's heard this theology? Thank you, a few honest people. If you follow Jesus, nothing bad will happen to you. If you follow Jesus, you will avoid pain. That's not Jesus talking. That is not Jesus talking. Now, right now, it's Martha talking. She's hurting. She's lashing out. If you really did love us, Jesus, if you had been close, we could have avoided this painful chapter in our lives. That's not how Jesus works. He's okay. He is absolutely okay with you and I going through painful chapters in our lives. All he cares about, will we look to him? Will we cling to him? Will we trust him? Will we hear his word? Hey, alive or dead, you're mine. You're good. Will we hear that? Because what does the enemy say? Well, where was Jesus? If Jesus is so powerful, why didn't he prevent this bad thing from happening? If Jesus is so awesome and his love is so great, why are you suffering so? Church, you better recognize the voice of the enemy. Because that's not Jesus talking. If you had been here. That is not our Lord. But, verse 22, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Martha said, yeah, I know. He'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, here it is. That's a lot of buildup, but this is it. This is it. How does Jesus respond? I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, Lord, we believe you. We know that, you know, when it's the day, when it's supposed to happen for everybody, we know that our brother will rise again, but we're hurting today. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So what does that mean? Well, it means this. Whoever believes in me, if we believe it, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You believe that? I mean, Jesus, even in her pain, Jesus is still going to call to faith, right? Even when we're hurting and suffering, Jesus is, it's a test. It is a test. It is. It's not unfair. He gives us the answers. But we got to show up on test day. You can study all night long what happens if you sleep through the final. You fail. You could have prepared for hours. I got this. I know this. And you don't show up for the test. You get no credit. You don't get the A. Jesus lays it all on the line. He gives you all the answers. But the test is, do you actually believe this? That's the test. And if you and I don't show up, we will fail. But if we show up and believe what he says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. Those who die in me, they're going to live. They're fine. And if you believe in me and you're alive, guess what? You're not going to have to go through death. It's just life. Whoa. Okay, now something different is going on. Something seismic, if you will. Something big. Jesus is literally shaking up the fabric of creation. Because we look at him and go, okay, well, you know, you get however many years you get and then you're dead. And Jesus says, no. I am the resurrection and the life. If you die, don't sweat it. You're good. You'll live. Oh, and you live? Then you just don't die. Wait, what? Again, remember the first half of the chapter? He's sick. He's asleep. All right. Dummies. He's dead. All right? Jesus is trying to give us a new language. Lazarus is dead, and what does Jesus say? He's asleep. It's a nap. Well, what do naps insinuate? That you wake up. The grave is not the end. How did the end of the gospel story go? Was the grave the end for Jesus? No, it was not. How do they all end? He comes back. So what is your end? Is it your funeral? Is it the casket? Is it the cremation? Is it the closing prayer at your service? No, that's not your end. That helps us. It helps us because we're like Mary and Martha. We're in pain. We need people around us. We're suffering for our loss, but that's not the end. That's not the end. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. When he comes back, if you need to be resurrected, when he comes back, if you're alive, done and done. Done and done. What an awesome God we serve. But again, how does he end? How does he end this lesson or this point with Martha? Do you believe? Do you actually believe this? I'm telling you some stuff that's amazing and wonderful and crazy and just whoa. But you got to believe it. If you don't believe it, it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good. She said to him in verse 27, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." In Christ, we are alive. Now, some of us are going to experience the rest of sleep. Some of us are going to fall asleep in the Lord, and we're going to rest. And some of us are going to be awake and perfectly alive when the Lord comes back. I don't know when it happens, but guess what? Jesus' point here is 4 days for Lazarus, 4,000 years for, I don't know, Peter, one of the others. I don't know. It doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. So whether you live or whether you die, if you're in the Lord, you're good. That's what matters. You see how life and death becomes, it's not just, oh, well, I'm alive today and someone else is dead today. No, it's all about Jesus. It really is. It's all about Jesus. Because if we're in Christ, then alive, dead, we're good. We're good. I trust Him today. I'll trust Him tomorrow. I'll trust Him on my deathbed. I'll trust Him if I avoid it. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus is all the world to me. That's one, isn't it? That one's already been written. So if you're in the writing mood, that one's already there. Okay. Let's see how the story ends. Verse 28. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher's here and calling for you." When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Even in their good intentions, and if you have ever experienced the pain of loss, you know that sometimes people who really care about you, they have such good hearts and such good intentions, and they will say some of the dumbest things. We do it too. We don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'll sit here with you. I'll be here with you. I'll cry with you, but, you know, I need to say something. And the people who are crying with Mary and Martha, they're like, "Well, you know, he healed other people. Could he not have prevented this from happening?" And Jesus says, "No, I'm not in the prevention game. That's not what I'm doing. You're the ones that have to have faith. I'm in the life game. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm bringing. I am the resurrection and the life. You got to believe it." So when people are saying, "Oh, well, if Jesus really loves you, would he have allowed you to experience this?" That's not Jesus, okay? You need to recognize the voice of Jesus, so when someone else is saying something opposite, you will not go down that road. That's why we're here. It's why we're studying this. It's why it's so important, so that you and I will hear the voice of Jesus. Why? Because the story continues. The story doesn't end with everyone doubting and scoffing and questioning his power. The story comes to conclusion. Verse 38, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead four days.'" He's been dead 4 days, Lord. And you know, Martha, like everybody else, and it was Martha, right? Yeah, Martha. Martha's just going, "Oh, you want to pay your respects. You love him so much. I get it. You and I are guilty of the same thing. Jesus calls us to faith and say, hey, I need you to go do this. And we're like, Lord, that's not a great idea. How many times have you done that in your life? The Lord calls you to do something. You're like, nah, Lord, you know, that's not a great idea. That's not a great situation to be in. That's really not where you want me. You don't. Roll the stone away. Verse 40. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? This whole chapter, this whole episode, this is all about my life, my death, it's God's. Now, this is not just an assurance. This is not just an assurance for me to get up and face the day and say, I can tackle anything because I belong to Jesus and nothing bad's going to happen to me. No, you see, I am the Lord's. And whatever the Lord sees fit to happen to me, so be it. Blessed be the Lord. I am His. And being His, He can do with His whatever He chooses. If He sends me there and it's dangerous, so be it. If He sends me there and it leads to my nap, so be it. If He sends me there and it works out for fun, yay! I am the Lord's. And Jesus says, did I not tell you at the very beginning of this entire story that all of this would lead to God's glory. Church, if you and I would get out of bed tomorrow morning and say one thing, Lord, this is my prayer today, just today, I can't even imagine the rest of my life. Today, I want to be yours and I want everything to be for your glory. You think Monday might look a little bit different than last Monday? If you and I just got up and said that and then just did it? Everything today, Lord, is for your glory. I am yours. You've already made me yours, I am yours, and everything that is going to happen shall be for your glory. Because that really comes down to, we have to ask ourselves a real honest question. Do I trust that God's glory is better than my glory? Because if I trust that God's glory is better than my glory, then it should be a little bit easier to get up in the morning and say, all day today, Lord, I'm yours. May you be glorified. Whatever happens to me, you already took care of life and death, so I really can't complain. You already took care of the biggest problem that I've been facing. And that's my fear of death. It's done. It's gone. It's over. I'm yours. May you be glorified. So they took away the stone and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. Look, Lord, you don't need me asking you again. You already know that I know, but I'm saying this out loud because they don't get it yet. They need to hear this. They need to see this. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. For those who fall asleep in the Lord, guess what? That's your alarm clock. That's it. If you and I fall asleep in the Lord, our alarm clock is going to be Jesus himself. Michael, come out. Come out. Wake up. It's time. Your rest is over. Let's go. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely wonderful. That you and I, we get so caught up on death and loss. And Jesus says, I am the Lord of all that. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe that, even if you die, you're going to live. And if you believe that, guess what? You're not even going to die. It's the, he's ill, he's asleep, he's dead. Life. Death, life, you belong to the Lord. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And guess what the Lord does not do to his own? He does not let us go. He does not let us go. Not even, that's why Paul would say that thing, not even death will separate us from the love of God. Death, the grave cannot get in between how much God loves you. And if you experience death, that doesn't mean that God, oh, well, God stopped loving me that day because I had to die. No, It may have just been for God's glory. Well, okay, so what you're saying is I need to let my whole life be for God's glory? Yeah, that. And guess what? If you do that, then how you live and how you die will be exactly how it's supposed to be. May he be exalted in my life. May he be exalted in my death. If I got up every day and said, Lord, it's all about you, then I should get up on my last day and say, Lord, it's all about you. You ever lost a loved one in the Lord? That's what they wanted. They wanted it to be all about God. Quit making it all about you. Because you and I make it all about us. And we can't see past our pain and our suffering. Now, I'm not saying we can't weep. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is don't allow your pain to make you focus somewhere else besides the Lord's glory. Okay? Don't let your pain make you do something unfaithful. Like, you know, if you had just been here, this wouldn't have happened. It happened the way that it happened. Blessed be the Lord. It's all his glory. It's no longer my glory. It's no longer my comfort. It's no longer my temporary happiness. It's all about him because he's done everything for me. In Jesus Christ, if you're in the ground 4 days or 4,000 years, the end is the same. I am the resurrection and the life. That's the finish line. Now, the good thing, this is the mind blower. As if none of this was not a mind blower enough. This needs to be a whole nother lesson. It really does. After we do all this stuff with Jesus, we'll talk about the resurrection. Okay, how's that? Someone can hold me to that. Because we really need to know the beginning and the end and how God's trying to bring them together. Eden, the resurrection, and how it all fits. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. All right. Okay. John chapter 5. Go back there real quick. Oh, I'm doing good. We'll get done before lunch, I promise. Why is that funny? Before lunch. We'll be finished before lunch. Yeah. We'll be finished before lunch. John chapter 5. Look what Jesus says in verse 25. John chapter 5, verse 25. Truly I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This is Jesus getting everybody ready for the Lazarus story. And the Lazarus story is Jesus getting all of us ready for our story. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. His voice will wake us up. And if it's a faith, we're all good. And if it wasn't, then he'll take care of that. No one escapes the voice of Jesus. He wants us all to listen and trust and believe and obey now. But no one escapes the voice of Jesus. God, the creator of all things, saw fit to say, I'm giving this authority to my son. I'm presenting my son to my creation, and I'm giving them all the choice. They can choose. They can believe what he says, or they can deny him. Only two options. Only two options. And everyone will be taken care of accordingly. Everyone in the end gets exactly what they ask for. I belong to God, or I want nothing to do with God. And in the end, every single one of us will get that. We will get what we ask for. Chris read for us from Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to close here, but I just wanted us to see this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Because Paul does this here. This is why we start in the middle of the chapter. Okay, when Paul wrote it, he wasn't putting the big numbers on the side. He was writing a letter. He makes this contrast in 2:20 and then in 3:1. In 2:20 says, if with Christ you died. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, if then with Christ you have been raised. Well, guess what? I have died with Christ. He gave me the ability and opportunity to be buried with him in baptism. I've already died with Jesus. And I have been raised with Jesus. That's why when this body says, no more, I can't go anymore, and you put me in the ground, or, you know, you burn me up and whatever. Whenever this body is done, doesn't matter. I've been buried with Christ. I have risen with Christ. However long I have to rest, or if I don't get a rest at all, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. I've been buried with Christ, so I will no longer answer to the elemental spirits of creation that say, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. That's okay to do, that's not okay to do. I will no longer answer to elemental spirits that are not Jesus. I've died to those things. They're beneath me. And I've been raised in Jesus. So in verse 1, what I'm doing is living my life with my eyes looking up to him, seeking the things that are with him. That's what that means. I've died to looking around the world saying, this is good, this is bad, this is good, that's not. My eyes have been lifted to Jesus. I get my directives from him. I get my okays from him. I get everything from him. All I want are the things with him. My life is done here in the flesh. It wasn't doing me any good anyway. The things of the flesh offered me nothing. Jesus, the Son of God, gave me life. So that's where I'm going to live. That's where I'm going to make my home. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what other people, how difficult they make it for me in the flesh. It doesn't matter. I've died to the flesh. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but they might hurt you. Okay. They might kill you. And? It doesn't matter. I've died to these things anyway. Well, it might not be fun. It's okay. It's all right. Because I resolved in my heart that this life that God purchased with the blood of his son, I have been ransomed, redeemed, and purchased. That means bought by him. I belong to him now. He can do with me whatever he wants. Because he's promised me life. So I'm not going to worry about what it takes to get there. I'm just not. I'm just going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to say, Father, your will be done. Father, your name be glorified in my life. Because my glory is pretty pathetic. Your glory is the best I can hope for. And that's what I'm going to live for today. Your glory. Your glory. We've died to the elemental things. We have been raised with Christ. Our home, our minds are all set where Christ is. And then he promises there in Colossians chapter 3, Christ is our life, and when our life appears, we will appear with him in that glory. You know, all the days of our life living in Christ, praying and acting for the glory of our Lord, guess what? When Jesus comes back and redeems us from, you know, this, he's going to put us in all of that glory. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing for Jesus to come and say, I am the resurrection and the life. Hey, if you die, it's all right. I'm coming to bring you back. If you're still here, it's all right. I'm coming to make you different. So whether you live, whether you die, it's okay. It's okay. We trust the one who came and says, I am life. The illness, the sleep, the death, those are not as big of things to him. It breaks his heart, just like it breaks our heart. again, Scripture tells us we don't mourn like other people. We don't mourn like those who don't have hope. It doesn't destroy us to lose someone because we will not lose the one. So this morning, if you have not died in Christ and been raised with Christ, and you get to do that in baptism, you get to die to yourself, you get to die to your sins, and you get to be reborn into a spiritual life. If you have not done that this morning and you want that opportunity, we invite you to respond. We'll help you get there. Now, if you have died with Christ, then it's time to no longer answer to the worldly things. It's time to live your life for Christ. And to live your life for Christ is to seek the glory of the Father, just like Jesus did, every day, every situation, no matter what. That's what we are called to do. That's who we are called to be. And if we do that, then sleep and death and all that other stuff, it just kind of fades away. It becomes less important. Because it really is less important. What's most important? To God be the glory.